Hey guys, how are you doing? Welcome back to the podcast. Man, today we have interesting topics. As you can see, I'm in a suit. I only wear a suit when I'm about to talk about serious business. Today we'll be talking about taxes, how you can get in trouble for taxes, and how one Miss Shakira is facing up to 8 years in prison for not paying her taxes. So today's topics is Shakira's tax fraud case. We take a look into that. Why Spain is notorious for this? Because she's not the first high-profile celebrity to go through such a case. And then we'll look at how this could be you, especially if you're one of those high-income earners or if you do get to become one of high-income earners. And we'll look into ways that we can avoid having such situations as we progress in our lives and become more successful. And if you're in Canada, in luck, because I have some information that can help you prepare yourself for the time that you start making money and having different people managing your money, how you can avoid 8 years in prison. With that being said, let's get into the podcast.
Hey, baby, welcome to the Conversations with Uncle Kevin podcast.
So, the first article that we have is about Shakira. Colombian pop singer Shakira could face up to 8 years in prison in a case where Spanish prosecutors say have accused her of a tax fraud. Shakira's full name is Shakira Isabel Mebarak-Ripo, is facing 6 charges alleging she failed to pay the Spanish government nearly $15 million in taxes between 2012 and 2014. The prosecutors say they would have also seek a fine of $24.5 million. Listen, man, I can barely pay a $100 ticket, but $24.5 million for a fine, that's just hefty. Prosecutors charged Shakira with tax evasion in December 2018, alleging she failed to pay millions in taxes to the Spanish government. Shakira listed the Bahamas as her official residence for tax purposes during those years, but prosecutors say she was in fact living in Spain with her now ex-partner, Spanish soccer player Gerard Piqué, father of her 2 children. She testified before a judge in 2019 as part of an investigation to alleged tax evasion and denied any wrongdoing. Her PR firm said she immediately paid what she owed with interest once she was informed of the debt by the tax office. The case hinges on where she lived during the years in question. Experts think the case is about the meaning of the word resident under Spanish tax law. Okay, so this case really did catch my attention, especially with the way it was being reported over the internet and how people have been taking it to it, because it is a serious situation when someone is facing 8 years in prison. I do know in Spain, they have this, I call it a clause, call it a rule, whereby if it's a non-violent act under 2 years, you don't really get to serve those 2 years in prison. But at 8 years, that's a pretty much different case. So what we're going to talk today about is, how did we get here? How did Shakira get here, and what are some of the causes, or what are some of the things that result in this? Because this is not the first time, especially with celebrities, that you hear about them falling in trouble with the authorities when it comes to taxes. So the first thing that happens, or the first thing that comes to my mind, is a lot of times celebrities, you know, especially Latin celebrities, or even Africans, or even anybody, is you come from one country, right? And then you find success and start living in a different country. So like, for example, for her, she's a Colombian living in Spain, all right? So when it comes to taxes, there are a lot of issues that happen there, because it's different from if, say, you're an American artist, American performer, and you make your money in America and you get taxed in America. But the moment you move countries, you then fall into a situation where each country that you live on has different tax laws that you have to abide by. And what tends to happen a lot of times is the country that you live in for the longest, where you consider yourself a resident or a permanent residence, is where you pay your taxes. So in most cases, say I live in Canada, if I go and perform in the US, when I leave the US, instead of paying my taxes in the US, I can come back to Canada and declare that income and pay off my taxes in Canada. However, if I leave in a different country, so for example, if I spend more than 183 days of my life in Mexico, but have a residence in Canada, have a residence in America, and I declare my income in Mexico, I have to pay my taxes there. However, there are other tax laws that do affect me, and I have to pay my taxes in these different countries, different states. In the in America, you they have different taxes in different states. So there's a lot to the tax law that you need to pay attention to, that you need to understand. And a lot of times what happens, and unfortunately for celebrities, is these are young people who have big dreams, who want to be the top artist, top performer, top actor, top this, top that. And what tends to happen for them is their focus is on the craft that they are working on, most cases the music, the acting, and that's where their major focus is. As they rise, they start finding business partners that help them navigate the business world. So you have, you know, your techs, I don't know what they're called, man, techs professionals who come in and they help you. They have accountants, they have business managers, they have these people who come and operate and help them manage their finances so that they can focus on the work. Because it can be a hard work just to, you know, trying to navigate this world. And what tends to happen is these people, whilst with good intentions, they can set you up for failure, you know. They can really set you up for challenges in your life that you do not want to face. So, for example, in this case of Shakira, what happened with her is what they did is they said in the period of time in question, 2012, 2014, she lived in the Bahamas. She had a residence in the Bahamas. So she paid her taxes in the Bahamas. Maybe they did this because in the Bahamas, they probably charge low tax rates compared to Spain or Colombia or wherever else she has a house in. And what then happens is when it comes to Spanish authorities, what they're doing and looking at is your records and saying, where do you live and how much does that equate to like, oh, you were in Spain though, you know, so pay us some of that good money, you know. And what happens with these tax professionals, with these accountants, what they're doing is it's in their best interest that the client doesn't pay a lot of taxes. That keeps them valuable to the client. So, for example, if your accountant is just like, hey, pay off your taxes to the Spanish government, there's no savings there, then they do not add any value to you. It's something that any accountant can do. So what they then do is find ways to save you money by not paying taxes and putting your money in offshore accounts where you're not really charged those crazy amount of taxes, because nobody likes paying taxes. I mean, think about in Canada, you know, the moment you start making around $100,000, your taxes is 50%. It's almost 50%, plus or minus 50%. So if I make $100,000, I don't want to give away $50,000 to the government for no reason. I do get my money will be used for projects that help our country to move forward, projects that do help me as well, you know. But still, it's I put in the work and you're just going to take 50% just like that. That's not fun. So a lot of people do not want to pay taxes. However, so what then starts to happen is that there are two things that happen. A, people try to avoid taxes. And in avoiding taxes, you then fall into this criminal act called tax evasion that comes around the corner. And once you start doing tax evasion, you find yourself in a whole lot of trouble, because there are people who are very smart, who went to school for this, who understand how the tax system works much, much better than the people who work in these private organizations as accountants, because what accountants are doing is they're trying to create value for their clients and saving them a little bit of money. And then on the other hand, you have these prosecutors who want to progress in life and have to find every loophole to make sure each tax dollar is paid off so that they can advance their careers. And then you end up in this middle. And that's how where Miss Shakira finds herself in this case. So what happened in this case? What happened is they kept money from 2012, 2014 in the Bahamas and didn't pay their taxes in Spain. And then what then happens as well is, as they try to explain through a PRFM that, yo, when she discovered that she owed the Spanish government, she paid off her debts. But the thing is, when it comes to the law doesn't work that way. You cannot just say, oh, my bad, you caught me here. You know what I mean? Let's move on. Because there are rules and regulations that are okay and that have to be followed through. And this is why she finds herself in trouble. And the sad part is her advisors probably didn't advise her correctly. I mean, if you had gotten away with it, hey, you'd have saved yourself a couple of millions. For me, the thing is, you don't really want any problems with the tax, man. You know, you wanna, if you go and do this offshore thing, you really want to be super careful and have a deeper understanding of what's going on and be involved in it. Don't just leave it to somebody else. Because what happens is when it all hits the fan, you have to stand in court and explain yourself. And that's what Shakira has to do now. She's the one facing 8 years in prison. You know, it's not her team. And yeah, so it's quite interesting. So the other thing that happens, and I feel like we have to explain, is a lot of times accountants recommend that you should have offshore accounts in tax havens. And you're probably wondering, what's a tax haven? A tax haven is a country that offers foreign businesses and individuals minimum or no tax liability for their bank deposits in a politically and economically stable environment. They have tax advantages for corporations and for the very wealthy, and obvious potential for misuse in illegal tax avoidance schemes. So companies and wealthy individuals may use tax havens legally as a means of stashing money earned abroad while avoiding higher taxes in the US and other nations. An offshore tax haven. From the viewpoint of an American, offshore is anywhere outside the US jurisdiction. Offshore tax havens benefit from the capital their countries draw into their economies. The funds flow in from individuals and businesses with accounts at banks and other financial institutions. And then, here's a, you've probably heard of these things and never really thought about it. But these tax havens are the ones where you keep your money. So you're Shakira, you live in Spain, you go, you make your money outside when she's performing at the Super Bowl and all those countries. Instead of declaring her income from all those performances into Spain, she would then go and say, oh, I lived in the Bahamas and I declared my income there. But then it's like, oh yeah, but you were actually not in the Bahamas for the time period that equates to that. You were actually in Spain, you know. So here are the top 10 overseas tax havens, if it's something you want to consider. The top tax havens currently are the British Virgin Islands, Cayman Islands. I've heard a lot about the Cayman Islands. Bermuda, the Netherlands, Switzerland, Luxembourg, Hong Kong, Jersey, Singapore, and the United Arab Emirates. So what tends to happen and how these things work? When people are creating tax havens, they create these little companies, these little businesses that they then give rights to certain celebrities. Things, it can be your image rights, it can be performances. That way, what accountants are very smart, and what they're trying to do is they create these corporations and then give you limited liability. So what happens is when you start a new business, that business is treated as a legal entity. And if it's based off in the Cayman Islands, and then they're saying, oh, we just performed a service, but we're not located in America, we're not located in Spain, we make our money, we are located in the Cayman Islands, and then this is how we make money, and this person doesn't owe you anything, you know, because that's their business. But what accountants, lawyers, and everybody doesn't tell you about limited liability, which is a concept that you have to look through, is something called piercing the corporate veil or lifting the corporate veil. This is a legal decision to treat the rights or duties of a corporation as the rights or liabilities of its shareholders. Usually, a corporation is treated as a separate legal person, which is solely responsible for the debts it incurs and the sole beneficiary of the credit it's owed. Common law countries usually uphold the principle of separate personhood, but in exceptional situations may pierce or lift the corporate veil. So I bring this concept up for you to think about whenever you do engage in creating your offshore accounts or having a tax haven and trying to hide behind companies and saying there's such a thing as limited liability. The thing is, the prosecutors can lift the veil on your company and come for you. So a lot of times celebrities fall victim to this and they do not understand this. That's how they get caught up and end up having to explain. I'm like, yo, if you don't want issues with the government, with the tax man, just pay him. You know, pay them what you owe them. It's that simple. There are other cases that have happened in Spain and we'll go through them. For example, Messi and his father were found guilty of 3 counts of tax fraud between 2007 and 2009 for essentially using fictitious companies to avoid Spanish tax on income from companies that use Messi's image. Revenues from Messi's image rights were transferred from the Switzerland and the UK to Belize and Uruguay, which did not tax companies' foreign income and also allowed the beneficiary's identity to remain a secret. tax issues may be more complicated than ever for elite athletes. Is there a risk for those who seek to manage their tax burden? Lots of agents are likely to advise their players in most cost-efficient ways of paying taxes, but there's a fine line between tax efficiency and tax avoidance, explains Anna Simmons, co-author of the book Sports Agents and Labor Markets. In many cases, players' agents probably don't know that they're doing anything wrong, but while ignorance is bliss, incompetence is not a defense. In Spanish law, every citizen is ultimately responsible for their own tax arrangements, as is the norm throughout the world. Lionel Messi learned this as much. Another case that occurred in Spain is the case against Ronaldo was based on the accusation that he routed image rights income through a network of companies to avoid paying the full taxes he owed from 2011 to 2014, thereby committing a tax fraud worth £14.7 million. Ronaldo was accused of using a company in the Virgin Islands to defraud the government. In May, Ronaldo adjusted his tax declarations and paid an extra €6 million for 2014. In court on July 31, at a hearing to determine whether he would stand trial, Ronaldo reportedly declared, "I'm only here because my name is Cristiano Ronaldo," according to the ESPN. All right, so as you can see, in Spain, these things happen. And mainly, I think why they happen is high-profile people are in Spain. So like high-profile celebrities, high-profile athletes, like Cristiano Ronaldo, like Lionel Messi. And like we're explaining, what tends to happen is a lot of with their image rights, their these things where you're making money, but it's a lot of money and you get really high taxes, especially if it's a corporate tax. When it comes to image rights and things like that, really will someone just like hold on to that and keep it under their name, they are likely to distribute it and give it to other people to run it. So what tends to happen is when you have these many, many people running around with your money and the government catches up with you, is trouble is always around the corner and you have to be very careful and you have to be knowledgeable. I don't think that these athletes, celebrities are aware of what's going on with their finances. I think for them, as long as they can tap their card and get whatever they need, they're happy. Rarely do I think that they actually know they're being used for tax evasion. And I do not think that their accountants and managers mean them any ill. Everybody's just trying to save on that dollar and not pay their taxes. But yeah, you have to be very careful. I really hope that Shakira does not end up in prison. I hope that she finds a way to explain herself out of this. But the thing with law is ignorance is not a thing. And for me, it's like, I just say, hold the people accountable who are responsible. You know, it's not just her fault. It's the people who give advice that have to be held accountable. Canadians have mixed feelings about taxes. While no one likes to see the hard-earned money go away, they also take pride in having healthcare and social programs that take care of their neighbors and members of the community. But what if you're not actually a resident of Canada, but you're living or working here? Do you need to contribute to provincial or federal taxes? The answer is maybe. See, when in Canada, there are four distinctions when it comes to taxes. So we are looking at, there are four things that you have to ask yourself. Are you a resident, or are you a non-resident, or a deemed resident, or a deemed non-resident? Okay, so you have to, your first job when it comes to Canadian taxes, you have to figure out what category you fall into. Here, so here's some quick, easy definitions. If you're a resident, you have significant ties to Canada, such as a home, a spouse, or a child in Canada. And I believe, I'm not sure, but I think this is the one where you have to spend 183 days. Or the second thing is, are you a deemed resident? A deemed resident means you lived outside of Canada during the tax year. You're not considered to be a factual resident of Canada because you did not have significant residential ties. Oh, yeah. And you're a government employee, a member of the Canadian Armed Forces, including overseas staff, or working under a Global Affairs Canada Assistance Program. Or you stayed in Canada for 183 days or more in the tax year, do not have significant residential ties with Canada, and are not considered a resident of another country under the terms of a tax treaty between Canada and that treaty. So yeah, this one is the one I was going with. So you're deemed resident if you stayed in Canada for 183 days or more. So out of 365, you spent 183 days here, then you're a deemed resident. So you have to pay your taxes within Canada unless you are living in another country that has a treaty with Canada. And when you're signing up for your taxes, there's a lot of things that just pop up. So go read. Another one is, are you a non-resident? You normally, customarily, or routinely live in another country and are not considered a resident of Canada. So this is probably just meaning you spend less than 183 days here. Deemed non-resident, you have some residential ties to Canada, but you're considered to be a resident of another country by virtue of a tax treaty which Canada has with that country. The rules trumps the rule for deemed residents, so it will apply even though you may have spent 183 days in Canada. So basically, you are deemed non-resident if you're paying taxes in a different country. So in the case of, say, Shakira, so that would mean like in Colombia, they would then look at her as a deemed non-resident because she has to pay her taxes in the Bahamas or Spain. If you're a resident, then what we're about to talk about is not for you. Pay your taxes. Let's explore the two other options. A deemed resident, we have this 183-day rule. So in Canada, there is this 183-days rule that simply means if you stay in Canada for 183 days or more in one tax year, you are a deemed resident and have to pay taxes. If you lived outside the country for the tax year but still have a house, a spouse, or a child in Canada, you are not a factual resident, but you're still not all the way out of our hearts and country, and some taxes do apply. If you're a deemed resident, you have to report your world income from all sources, both inside and outside of Canada, for the entire tax year, and you can claim all deductions and non-refundable tax credits that apply to you. In this case, you're subject to federal taxes, and instead of paying provincial or territorial tax, you pay a federal surtax. In this, you can claim all federal tax credits, but you can't claim provincial territorial tax credits. Now, this might be different if you, before you left Canada, you're living in Quebec, you might also be eligible to get some credits and benefits, such as GST, HST credit, or Canada Child Benefit. So in this case, so yeah, if you were Shakira, you gotta pay your tax. Otherwise, that's how you end up in trouble. So what tends to happen a lot of times is when you look at actors, when you look at athletes, so for example, people like Alfonso Davies, who plays in Germany and stays in Germany, you know, his tax situation might be a little bit complicated and he has to talk to professionals. I'm not a professional, so I don't know where he pays his taxes, but I do believe he spends more than 183 days in Germany, so he probably pays his taxes in Germany than in Canada. If you're not sure how much tax should be withheld based on the type of income you're receiving and your country of residence, you're in luck. The CRA has a non-resident tax calculator. If your income is subject to non-tax residence withholding, you aren't required to file Canadian tax return. You're only required to file Canadian tax return if your income is subject to Part 1 tax. This includes income from a Canadian employer, having a business in Canada, or capital gains from taxable Canadian property. It doesn't include public traded Canadian securities or mutual funds. Okay. Most types of income are subject to non-resident tax withholding at the rate of 25% unless a tax treaty with your country of residence specifies a low rate. This includes most types of pensions and investments income. For example, if you're a resident of the UK getting a pension from Canada, the withholding rate under the treaty is zero. If you're not sure how much tax is withheld based on the type of income you're receiving and the country of residence you're in luck, the CRA has a non-residence calculator on their website. Okay, and then we move on to an interesting group. As you realize, the internet has created opportunities, and these opportunities have resulted in people being able to work for Canadian companies, but being based wherever you are. You can be on a beach in Mexico. You can be climbing Mount Kilimanjaro. You can be basking in Zimbabwe. You can be in South Africa. You can be in Argentina. You can be anywhere and still work for a Canadian company. However, listen, the good thing about earning income, you gotta pay your taxes to somebody, all right? So these people are referred to as digital nomads from another country working in Canada. Here's a scenario that has massively gained in popularity. Your company allows you to work from wherever, be it your home, your cottage, or a hotel, anywhere, as long as you get your work done and you've chosen Canada. You are what's called a digital nomad, and you may owe taxes in Canada, but it depends. Canada has tax treaties with most countries which contain a clause stating that if you're abiding by the 183 days rule, you're working for an employer from your country of residence, and your employer doesn't have a permanent establishment in Canada, you'll be exempt from paying taxes in Canada. But if you're working for a Canadian employer, you will need to file a tax return. Serve your notice of assessment, though your country might allow you to claim a foreign tax credit. There is no one. Anyway. So yeah, if you're a digital nomad, you also have to be very careful and have a deep understanding of the 183 days rule. So if you're spending 183 days in Canada, you must pay your taxes here. If you don't, then hey, good, good for you. Pay taxes wherever you're at. If it's high there, sorry. But if it's low, hey, we envy you. but the main thing that we have to learn about taxes, whether you're in Spain, Canada, America, Zimbabwe, wherever, is there is no one-size-fits-all approach to taxes. Whether you're a newcomer to Canada or US, expert living in the Great White North, or not sure where you fall, there are a lot of tax professionals out there that are always there to help. Choose one from the convenient ways to file. You know, you can file at firms like H&R Block. You can drop in at an office. They are nonprofit organizations that help people with taxes. Or you can literally do it yourself. You know, with tech softwares out there, there's a lot. I'll link some in the bio for you guys to click up and link up. And I'm always here to help out with a little bit of taxes. I know a little bit. I don't know much. I don't know a lot. So I'm not trying to commit any tax fraud with you. But do hit me up if you need help filing some of those taxes. Because, listen, like the science says, just pay your taxes. If you don't have trouble with the tax, man, give him is it the tax, man, or tax? You know what I mean? Like, nowadays, you never really know. But the tax people, you know, just pay them. What I believe is just pay them. Have an understanding of if I make a dollar, the government wants 40%, whatever. I think I can break it down for you guys as well. It's if you're in Canada, so the way the Canadian tax system works is a little bit different from what I grew up with in Zimbabwe. Because in Zimbabwe, I remember you were just charged one tax rate. Whereas in Canada, it's like a tier system. So you start off, I believe, there's what they call the basic income that everybody has to earn. So if you're like making, I think, your income up until $24,000 is like they charge you zero in taxes. And then from 24 to say 30, you're paying 15,000. And then your income from 30 to whatever they pay, they charge you another percentage until you reach a point where you're making like 100,000 and then becomes 50-50. It becomes 50%. I just went 50-50-50 for the government, 50 for yourself. And by saying 50, I don't mean that you are paying 50% federal and 50% provincial. It's 25% federal, 25% provincial. And depending on the province you live in, you pay a different tax rate. So, for example, if you live in Quebec, you guys have different rules than everybody. So you might want to read on those, because a lot of times when I'm reading on this thing, it's like, they're like, unless you're in Quebec. So I don't really know much about Quebec. But the point is, Canadian taxes are charged a little bit different, and you have to understand what you're paying and what you're getting. And another concept that I feel like needs to be explained is the concept of what a tax return is. A lot of times people love to speak about, oh, you should have a tax write-off. That's a write-off. Write it off. I'm like, do you actually understand what a tax write-off? And just for me, you know, how to butcher, we might just have to just run a quick Google search. So the term tax write-off comes from accounting. It simply means a write-off is a business expense that reduces taxable income on the income statement. A write-off is different from a write-down, which partially reduces but does not totally eliminate an asset's book value. So another definition is a tax write-off refers to any business deduction allowed by the IRS, CRIA for the purpose of lowering taxable income. To qualify for write-off, the IRS uses the terms ordinary and necessary. That's an expense must be regarded as necessary and appropriate to the operation of type of your business. Anyway, so when people are using this term, a lot of times I laugh at it because I'm like, do you understand what you're saying? So the point is, a write-off is an expense. So this lowers your, because taxes are charged after net profit. So in accounts, we have the term EBITDA, whatever, earnings before interest and taxes. So once you've done your profit and loss, and then you have a profit, and then you say, this is my profit. From that profit, that's where you charge your taxes. So what write-off simply mean is in your expenses is those things that you add, and they have to be necessary and they have to be justifiable. So for example, rent for businesses, if you're renting a location, that's a tax write-off. What it does is it reduces the amount of taxes that you have to pay. But in on paper, what happens is these are expenses that you paid, all right? So what you're essentially doing is when you're having these write-offs, you're essentially just lowering the amount of money that the government can tax you or that you pay on your taxes. So what happens a lot of times is when it comes to your tax return, what a tax return is, without butchering that as well. A tax return is a completion of documentation that calculates an entity's or individual's income earned and the amount of taxes to be paid to the government or government organizations or potentially back to the taxpayer. Taxation is one of the biggest sources of income for the government. Tax return is a documentation filled with the tax authority that reports income, expenses, and other relevant financial information. On tax returns, taxpayers calculate their tax liabilities, schedule tax payments, or request refunds for the overpayment of taxes. In most places, tax returns must be filed annually. Okay, so if you guys want me to touch on a lot more about what taxes are and how the tax system actually works, I think that's a whole different podcast that we have to touch on, especially with the CRA. But the gist of it is, when you work for corporations, so what happens is when it comes to paying taxes, you have multiple options of how corporations pay taxes. So the other thing is, when we say corporations, you have to understand that a corporation is just a legal entity. A legal entity is a person. So a corporation and you legally are treated as the same thing. So you essentially are also a corporation by yourself. So what happens is when you earn revenue, the government takes a cut from that revenue that you earn. Be it your monthly salary, whatever, your bi-weekly salary, your bi-weekly pay, any form of revenue that you make, the government makes a cut. So what happens is, when it comes to taxes, when you're working for an employer, the employer takes taxes from you every month and sends it to the government on your behalf. But if you are not employed, what then happens is you have multiple options as well. You can do what they call pay your taxes quarterly, and this is based off of estimates. So you're estimating that every quarter I'm going to make X amount of dollars, and then you pay those X amount of dollars to the government. And then come the end of the year, you then do your profit and loss and then actual. So what you're trying to do is say, this is what we estimated, and then this is what's the actual thing. And then when you fill in your tax return or you do your tax report, if there's a discrepancy to where you overpaid during the year, you get a tax return. So what happens for you when you're employed is you're paying taxes each month. And then remember, we say that ties to how you're taxed in Canada. So for the first, say, $24,000 that you're not supposed to be taxed, where the tax rate is 0%, you essentially paid for that, because they had no way, you know, they cannot say, oh, we'll wait until you hit $24,000 in the year, because people's income is different, right? So what they then do is they tally it up. So with the end of the year in February, when tax season comes around, what then happens is you get a tax return because you'd have overpaid, or you'd have paid that $24,000 where you were not supposed to be taxed. So everybody gets a tax return. Everybody's guaranteed, as long as you're employed, to get some form of tax return or money back or whatever. So what happens is, when tax season does come around and you're like, oh, That's a write-off. In order to have write-offs, you need to be a business that has proper expenses. And then you have a profit and loss that you can submit to the CRA and say, hey, I was running a business. So the people that have tax write-offs are mainly your independent contractors, because those are essentially sole proprietors. And then businesses, they also do that because you have to present a profit and loss. That's how you end up having why a tax write-off matters. Otherwise, if you are employed and you're working 9 to 5, you're doing your thing, you don't really have a tax write-off, because for you, you're not considered a business. And what's happening is that the company has covered all your expenses, so you don't really have expenses to take you. I know you're saying, yeah, I do have expenses to go to this work, I pay gas and whatever, but yeah, I'm sorry. You know, but you do get money back from your taxes. And then also their credits, all those good things that we can touch on. If you let me in the comment section, if you want to know more about the tax situation in Canada. With that said, I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast. Today we're talking about taxes. We all do not want to end up facing a judge one day explaining ourselves, saying, I'm sorry, I didn't know what I was doing. Listen, when it comes to the law, ignorance is not an excuse. You know, you have to know. And I know that we're all focused on our craft. We're all focused on the work that we're doing. We're trying to live our day to day. Nobody got time to be reading those thick textbooks. So find yourself a tax expert. Have your questions answered. Do a little bit of research in your free time to understand how the tax system works. It's it's a complicated system, but it's also there's, you know, there are people who explain it in ways that it's very easy to understand. And you just need to read a little bit and you'll be fine. And you won't find yourself being like our favorite Waka Waka singer. But I hope, I wish Shakira well, and I hope that everything works out in her favor. But yeah, let's all learn a lesson from her and seeing how we can avoid being the next, how we can avoid being the next to be prosecuted for this. With that said, I hope you guys enjoyed this. We'll see you next week. Next week, we'll be touching on a topic that I love, man. Streaming services and what's happening for them. With that said, I hope you guys are having a good time. See you in the next one.